are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition of the program. My guest today is Matt Kolsky. You can hear him mornings on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. He is a Bears fan, grew up in Chicago, now in the Bay Area covering the 49ers. So we're going to use his unique perspective talking Bears and Niners this week, get into both of those squads. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review Locked On 49ers. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And with that, let's get to today's guest. My guest today is Matt Kolsky. You've probably heard him on mornings at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Fantastic dude. We actually have never worked together, even though we've worked in the same places and know a lot of the same people. But it's always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Matt Kolsky. Matt, thank you for joining the show.
Right back at you, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
That's one thing I've not done is had a regular morning gig. What's that like?
Well, this gig is so morning. I've never done the regular morning show sort of 6 to 10 type of deal, which actually gets you into the day. For me, I mean, I'm leaving work and it's still dark most days. And in order to watch sports reasonably during the week and also prep and be ready to go on air with a show at 5 a.m., I have really no choice but to sleep days. So I come home from work, putter around the house for a while, and then pass out somewhere around 9 or 10 most mornings, try to sleep till 5 or 6 if I can, and then sort of have a nice evening with my girlfriend before she goes to sleep and I get to work. So this is my work time, you know, it's perfect. Like catching up at 10:30 p.m. for me is ideal. And by the way, I meant to tell you before we started recording, but no spoilers for the Warriors Jazz game that I'm about to watch when we get off this podcast.
Yes, that's the other thing is you have to watch things later by appointment, right?
Yeah, I don't have to because I can like wake up and watch, but the like 6 to 10 hours is when my girlfriend who I live with comes home from work and rather than force her to watch me watch basketball. Football she's in on, basketball she's cool with it, but not necessarily interested in watching every single Warriors and Chicago Bulls game.
Yeah, so now you got to watch both, right? And that's why I wanted to have Matt on the show for you guys, who's a Bears guy, comes from Chicago. Were you were born and raised in Chicago, Matt?
Well, technically, I was born in the Boston area, raised in Chicagoland, Evanston, which is home of the Fighting Northwestern Wildcats and the first suburb to the north of Chicago.
Ah, yes.
And yes, diehard Bears fan.
Evanston, that's where all the smart folks come from, right?
Well, yeah, maybe you think of that because Northwestern. Sure, I'll take it.
You deserve it. You deserve that credit.
I appreciate that very much. And yes, I'll ride with that, even though, you know, I was accepted to Northwestern University.
Oh, really?
At one point in my life, actually for law school, I did not apply. I did not want to stay home for undergrad, but yeah, that's a whole other story about a life that never happened.
Wow. And you turned it down.
Yeah. Berkeley too. Yeah. I had a dalliance with law school, many years ago now.
Wow, that's very interesting. I don't know if we have time for that story in the podcast, but maybe over a beer. I got to hear the rest of that one.
Yeah, I'll tell that story on my WTF episode in like 15 years if I ever really accomplish anything. But yeah, for today I think Bears football and Niners football will give us plenty.
Right. Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's get into those Chicago Bears. How awesome was it beating the Packers, winning the division? Like, was that sort of a monkey off your back situation? How did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Is it a monkey off my back? I'm not sure I can convey, especially to 49ers fans, how big the monkey you're talking about really is. Because it's a monkey that has not only my whole life of a lot of losing to the Packers, but also just more even than the quantity of losses. Because the Bears may be near 500 against the Packers in my, you know, awake and aware fan life. More than just the wins and losses, it's the fact that for virtually every moment I've been aware of the Bears-Packers rivalry, they've had a Hall of Fame quarterback. And not just a Hall of Fame quarterback, but the particular style of Hall of Fame quarterback that, like, no matter how good you think things are for your team in your season, or even in that particular game, you can never rule out that guy just coming back and ripping your heart out. So I'm not sure my fear, the terror I feel, even knowing, maybe even more so knowing the Bears have the better team, I don't know that I can accurately convey the, like, again, the size of that monkey when you're staring Aaron Rodgers in the face twice a year, every damn year, after doing it with Brett Favre for an entire career. It's just, it's brutal. It's a hard time. And so that, I don't think that goes away, but the satisfaction of having that game where you clinch, of having the Bears really deliver on, they are the better team this year. And the defense in particular is at a level where, for the first time since, you know, around that last Super Bowl trip, the height of the Urlacher and Briggs Bears, I deeply trust this defense to get the job done. Deeply.
The talent on that defense and the young players coming through, and you've got multiple players from the 2017 draft that look great. And that's, I think, for Bears fans, where you get most excited is not only is it top heavy, where you've got Khalil Mack, you've got Pro Bowler Akeem Hicks, and I want to ask you about him momentarily. But the young players that surround those guys, and you have a young quarterback in place that is playing at a baseline level that he needs to play, I think. But I think it's when you have Trubisky with Nagy, and knowing how little Trubisky's really played football, he only was a one-year starter, and probably got worse because he had to play under John Fox. I don't know how you feel about John Fox, but probably not the best to have a rookie quarterback under. The future is bright, and the present, you're there, and you've sort of gone over the hump. The team has arrived, and the future looks just as good, if not better, than right now. And so that's got to be maybe the most exciting thing.
Yeah, it really is. And you hit on the sort of Bears fan talking points for why Mitchell Trubisky may actually really be good one day. He's not that now, and I think that's a thing that we're familiar with, but the potential is something we're not necessarily familiar with as Bears fans. And it's just, you know, when Jay Cutler first arrived, I sort of had this feeling of like, all right, well, there's some things that you need to fix, but God, he's got all the talent in the world. And this is really some of the best, even though there's a lot of mistakes being made, this is some of the best quarterback play I've ever seen my team have. And it's a similar feeling. I think the difference between Cutler and Trubisky is the difference between arrogance and ignorance, if that makes sense. Cutler made mistakes of arrogance. Trubisky makes mistakes of ignorance. Cutler was never able to shore those up. Trubisky, we'll see. We'll see. But I think clearly the Bears have one of the most diversely talented offenses around him, which I think helps. Tariq Cohen's a phenomenal player. Jordan Howard has become underrated because they haven't used him as much under Nagy, but there's no disputing what he's capable of. Allen Robinson is a stud, man. I think it's easy to forget because Trubisky's not always going to hit him, and neither did Blake Bortles, but he makes plays, and he's one of those receivers that, and again, as a Bears fan, I've not gotten to see a lot of this in my life, but Allen Robinson is one of those receivers that one to five times a game does something completely ridiculous, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's when the ball's thrown out of bounds, and he almost makes a play, you know, but he's a stud. He might not be quite Julio Jones level, but he's right on that next tier of sort of 1A receivers. And Nagy's super creative and uses other weapons like Taylor Gabriel and the rookie Anthony Miller in creative ways. So he finds ways to hurt you, even if Mitchell Trubisky is, you know, probably near the midpoint of the NFL in terms of quarterback play.
More Bears Niners with Matt Kolsky after this quick break. Also going to get into Pro Bowl and how asinine it is. I think Matt agrees with me on that. And look ahead to 49ers free agency. But I want to let you guys know about DraftKings and their weekly fantasy football contests, especially for those of you who were playing in the Locked On 49ers Fantasy League and who are not in the finals in Week 16, like myself, aggressively prudent, taking on Gold, as in Robbie Gold Rush, in the finals this week. You can still play fantasy football with 1 week fantasy at DraftKings. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in total prizes. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. Most of you forced out of your season-long commitment at this point. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying 1 week fantasy football, now is the time to play. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Just go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back with Matt Kolsky here on Locked On 49ers. I love that line you used before the break, arrogance and ignorance. That's amazing. I'm going to steal that from you for sure. I'll write that
please
down right now.
And
you mentioned Anthony Miller, man. Ryan Pace is doing a great job as GM of the Bears right now, because just draft after draft now getting impact players. I love the way Anthony Miller looks, and I think he's a great fit with the guys you mentioned, Taylor Gabriel. And then I think the 49ers really need that big-bodied wide receiver like an Allen Robinson, someone that is – open even when they're not open, someone that can make a play on the ball, someone that can help you out in the red zone, someone that can maybe bail you out of some plays even when they're covered. I mean, that's and we'll talk a little bit more about the 49ers needs a little bit later. But on the defensive side of the ball for the Bears, Akeem Hicks made the Pro Bowl over DeForest Buckner. I had Lauren Cox, yeah, the host of Locked On Bears, on the show yesterday. And he talked a lot about Hicks, and I like Hicks as a player, and I think he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl, so that's we'll put that right there. But you have to admit, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I did not put Lauren on the spot yesterday. I'm going to put you on the spot. DeForest Buckner deserves the Pro Bowl spot over Akeem Hicks. Do you agree?
Deserves the Pro Bowl spot over Akeem Hicks. Do I agree? Yeah, I think I agree with that. Here's what I'll say. This is what I talked about actually on my show, you know, which is like my yesterday, but your today now.
And everybody else's tomorrow.
Who knows? Yeah, it's I here's the problem. I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No.
Okay. So there's two parts. The first part is, I'm not surprised because this is how it's done. Even though DeForest Buckner is playing better than Akeem Hicks this year, by degrees, you know, Akeem Hicks does different things. He's a little bit more of a traditional defensive tackle, so he's not – yes, he doesn't have the sack numbers, but he has, I think, a pretty good chunk more tackles. He does have some QB hits, and he also has taken the ball away a few times. But also, we know when it comes down to breaking what are near ties, the leagues, the people who decide these things for All-Star, particularly NBA and NFL, because baseball has their own weird rules, they go to the winning teams. And so that's – DeForest got screwed because the Niners stink. But that's pretty – that's par for the course. The problem for me is – because nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. Like, nobody even wants to go. And odds are he'll get to go because fingers crossed the Bears will be playing playoff football or whatever. Like, someone's going to bow out, and DeForest Buckner probably can go to Hawaii for free if he wants to. Congratulations. But why do we restrict Pro Bowl teams to, like, any sort of normal roster construction? What's the point of that? Like, can't we just agree that Keem Hicks and DeForest Buckner and Aaron Donald and who's the other guy who made it?
Fletcher Cox.
Yeah. Great. Let's just say they're all playing at a Pro Bowl level. All right, let's put them all on the Pro Bowl team. Why does it have to be three? Because ultimately, I don't care about the game. I don't really care who makes it now. But what I care about is 15 years from now, if someone's like, oh, well, DeForest Buckner only made four Pro Bowls, but he should have made six, and the Niners stunk two of the years, so he got screwed.
Yeah, and guys tend to make it the year after they should have made it. And a lot of people thought Buckner was snubbed last year, and a lot of people thought Hicks was snubbed last year. And so, yeah, that's why I'm only mildly surprised that Buckner didn't make it, because Hicks is on the playoff team in the Bears, even though I thought maybe the numbers, because statistics plays a big factor, and I thought maybe the 11 sack, although I guess this was decided before the last game when he had his last two sacks, so he only had nine sacks at the time. But the 11 sacks really rings out for me, and I thought Buckner was going to get over that hump, because I think in NFL circles, people think of him very, very highly, even though there's some fans on the East Coast that probably don't even know what DeForest Buckner is.
Keem Hicks is playing tremendous football, and you know, if his stats are somewhat less, that's in part because he has a lot of other guys on the team who attack the quarterback. It's not just him doing everything all by himself.
Yeah, Khalil Mack's stealing all the sacks. Nobody's stealing all of DeForest Buckner's sacks right now for the 49ers. That's a great point.
Yeah, no one's stealing anything from DeForest Buckner. But he deserves to be there, is the point.
You know, one thing for 49ers fans, if you want to feel better about the DeForest Buckner thing, how about this? One less Pro Bowl might save the 49ers a dollar or two with his future mega contract that could come as early as this offseason. And look, that's why I wanted to talk to you, Matt, because you're uniquely qualified to talk about both the Bears and the 49ers, covering them here in the Bay Area. Like, have you been surprised by this late season run and Mullins and the defense all of a sudden playing well? The more rookies they throw in, the better the defense plays. Like, is that like blowing your mind right now?
No, but only because we've seen the guys they're replacing.
The backups were better all along, probably.
Well, you know, I think this is sort of the classic case of where you started Mike Glennon at quarterback with the Bears last year. Not that it was necessarily the right decision, and I'm not sure John Fox helped anybody, but Jimmy Ward was probably never one of the best four or five defensive backs on this football team, right? At the same time, it probably benefited Marcel Harris and DJ Reed not to be starting as fifth and seventh rounder rookies on day one, right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I don't know, but like, I just can't imagine you're going to, it sounds like they really do like Tart, and I'm okay with that. But I think other than that, you know, it's Richard Sherman and it's a bunch of young guys. And then this is where you spend money in the offseason to add one more legitimate piece to your secondary, to add probably two more linebackers if you can, to add at least two pass rushers. And hopefully one of those is in the draft as well. So I really think that all the money is going to go to defense. But what you have learned is you don't have to do nearly as much to fill out the depth of your defense. I think the depth is here, and it's a lot of young guys who have shown you some things. Now, if the Niners go into 2019 and they're like, well, we got Richard Sherman, and then we're going to start Marcel Harris and DJ Reed and Jaquaski Tartt and Akello Witherspoon, and we're good to go, then I think you have reason to be upset and or disappointed. But in terms of learning about what you have for depth at the end of an ugly season, this is great.
All right, more with Matt Kolsky after this quick break. I know he's got a lot of ideas about the 49ers free agency and offseason, so we're going to get into that right after this. We talked about depth and learning about who some of these young players are for the 49ers to end this season. And I think that's important, too, because you don't have to add depth below the roster and push everybody up. If you can add that piece at the top of the depth chart, and then that sort of ratchets everyone down behind them, and now all of a sudden these guys are your depth and you're very strong, I think that's the right way to go about it. And I think you're especially those key a couple of those key spots in the secondary, edge pass rushers, and things could come together very quickly for that defense. And then you have some depth, and then you have some top heaviness and some players that can impact football games. And then you're cooking with grease, I think, a little bit there when you look at the defense side of the ball. And what you just said about the defense, I feel the same way about the offense, is they still got to add talent on that side of the ball, too. It would be weird, as much as they might like Kendrick Bourne, it would be weird to just be like, oh, we got Kendrick Bourne. We're good there. You know, they've got to still try to add talent on top of everything else.
Okay, so this is one of my things heading into the 49er offseason. I totally agree, but I don't see it. I don't see it available. So I actually think you said earlier a guy like Allen Robinson, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what they'd like. But again, there is no guy like Allen Robinson becoming available. The best wide receiver available in free... Now, okay, I suppose it's possible if Atlanta wants to blow things up, you know, you could trade some sort of high draft pick for Julio Jones, I suppose. I suppose it's possible that I don't know, AJ Green wants out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
But short of something like that happening, the best pass catcher available is Golden Tate. And I don't think Golden Tate is the guy we're talking about.
No.
You know, Randall Cobb, Larry Fitzgerald, these are the guys at the top of the wide receiver free agency class. So I think what actually ends up happening is the Niners say, oh, I should tell you, there is one difference maker who could be available. His name's Josh Gordon. How do you feel about that?
Oh, Josh Gordon. Well, they tested the waters on the Josh Gordon trade, and it sounded like, and because Kyle Shanahan was there, I think, when he was the offensive coordinator in Cleveland when Gordon was hit with that very first long suspension. So he's seen him in camp. He knows what kind of a specimen he is, and the 49ers were interested in trading for Josh Gordon, but then either decided not to throw anything out there or backed out at the last minute. But it sounded like he got the okay from Shanahan saying, yeah, I'm okay with that and doing this. And then they ultimately decided not to mess with that.
Do you think that's changed in the last few months?
I don't know. Maybe the trial period of seeing Gordon in New England, and it's like, okay, he's fine. He's doing fine. Let's maybe go there, and we don't have to give up a draft pick now. We can just sign the guy. I think that's a possibility, and it's an interesting name. But
so that to me is interesting, but I think what's more likely is a name like Quincy Enunwa or Tyrell Williams, a big guy who's different than what you have. If you add a guy like that to Goodwin, Pettis, Taylor, Richie James, you've got a solid receiver core, but you've already got your number one pass catcher, quite obviously, and his name is George Kittle. So in my mind, I think it's likely that instead of spend, you know, higher free agency money on Golden Tate, they save a little cash, pick up a Tyrell Williams or someone like that. They're all in on Kittle, Garoppolo, McKinnon, and then you spend your money on defense and maybe a guard.
I like that plan. And, you know, you can still go into the draft and find, and actually this looks like it's going to be a really good draft for big-bodied receivers too. So maybe you just continue to go
like
there
the
on the offensive
round.
Side of the ball. And yeah, second round, third round, something like that.
Yeah.
Develop some guys. Because, I mean, Allen Robinson was a second-round pick. Michael Thomas was a second-round pick. Devontae Adams was a second-round pick. You can find good players and develop them. And when you have the system in place to develop wide receivers, and it looks like the 49ers have that, I think that's a huge bonus. And I think many a career actually have been ruined by just players, skill players going to teams that couldn't coach him up. And I think the 49ers are not that right now, which should be exciting for 49ers fans. So put your resources and your money on defense, let Shanahan do his thing and continue to develop offensive talent. And I think that's a good recipe.
Yeah, I think it is too. And if we've learned anything this year, in my mind, and I know a lot of 49ers fans have had trouble seeing the forest through the trees, and that's understandable because the trees have been formidable. But I think if we've learned anything this year, it's that it almost doesn't matter what Kyle Shanahan has. If you let him coach it up for a couple weeks, he can make things happen on offense.
Hey, we're running out of time here, Matt. One quick question. This is a simple one. Chicago Bears, are they hoisting the Lombardi?
No. No, I mean, I wish I could sell myself on that. I don't. You know, we're going to find out, though, how outmoded and outdated is the defense wins championships thing. Because the Bears aren't just the best defense in the NFL. The Bears are playing great NFL defense, and there aren't really any others. Like, it's Baltimore's good, but if you look at DVOA, which I think is the best, you know, broad measure of how well a team's playing on offense and defense, it weights it against the teams they've played. And when you look at that, it's like the Bears' defensive rating is as far ahead of Baltimore at number two as Baltimore is of like the 17th team. It's a blowout how much better their defense is than everybody right now. If you just look at the way they've improved, the way they play when Khalil Mack is healthy, the amount of talent they've got at every level of this defense. Because this is I'm going to make another absurd analogy, but it reminds me of sort of in reverse when Michael Jordan retired the first time, and you had this team led by Scottie Pippen that was, you know, with Tony Kukoc that made the playoffs and should have gone to the finals, except for Hugh Hollins was paid for by the New York Knicks and called an absurd foul on Scottie Pippen that cost us a Jordan-less title. Anyway, I'm not bitter.
Some deep Bulls knowledge there.
The point of me vilifying Hugh Hollins unnecessarily on a football podcast is that that's what the Bears defense was, but then they added Michael Jordan. All of a sudden at the beginning of the season, instead of being the Scottie Pippen defense, they were the Michael Jordan defense. And they went from being arguably the best defense in the league, one of the better defenses in the league, to just murdering the rest of the league from a defensive perspective. On offense, they are creative, but inconsistent and uneven and not necessarily expert at closing out games. So they'll have to win with defense. And I don't think that wins you a Super Bowl in 2019, but I guess we'll find out.
There you have it. That is Matt Kolsky. Khalil Mack is the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
Yeah.
Poor Hugh Hollins. You can listen to Matt Kolsky 5 to 6 a.m. weekdays on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. And tell the folks about your other podcast.
Oh, I do another podcast. It's called The Toy Department. It's a regular melange of pop culture, movies, a lot of television, some comedy. Sometimes we talk about podcasts, a little bit of sports here and there, just sort of everything in the toy department of life, so to speak. Co-hosted with an old radio coworker of mine and current program director of a rock station in Minneapolis by the name of Derek Madden. And you can, for instance, this week's episode, which came out on Wednesday, you can hear me talk about how Roma is an overrated piece of nonsense.
I like it. A podcast about podcasts, too. That's interesting. I like that.
Not often, but I'm just saying we get the whole pop culture mix in. So occasionally we will throw in a podcast. We did review, for instance, do you ever listen to the podcast Dissect?
No, I have not.
Well, if you're a hip-hop fan, Google the podcast Dissect, and I promise you won't be disappointed.
And then I'm sure there's a heavy dose of 90s Bulls on your podcast as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like not unlike my passion for the band Phish. I try to keep that private as much as I possibly can.
That's smart.
Not because I'm ashamed, but because I recognize nobody cares.
That's smart, especially when it comes to the fish. Yeah, we definitely don't want to go there on this podcast. I will cut you off for sure. That is Matt Kolsky. Find him 5 to 6 a.m. weekdays, 95.7 The Game. Matt, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, man.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. I bet you didn't think we were going to hear about Hugh Hollins, the old NBA referee, 27-year career NBA referee. I had to look him up because I was like, Hugh Hollins, that's a deep reference from the 90s NBA. So, yeah, always fun to talk to Matt Kolsky. Thanks again to Matt for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with – actually, we're going to talk more Bears-Niners. There's a lot of good Bears fans in the local San Francisco media. We got Ryan Covey of KNBR and also of our Oblong Balls Fantasy Football League with myself and Nick Winkler joining me on Friday's show. We'll talk about all kinds of 49ers stuff and get a little bit more into the Bears right here on Locked On 49ers.